Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. You may email your questions through the website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. You may also mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bumpville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're continuing in our study of the book of Jeremiah. We're in chapter 34. We've completed at verse 7. And the last verse there that we were studying, when the king of Babylon's army fought against Jerusalem and against all the cities of Judah that were left, against Lachish and against Azekah, for these defensed cities remained of the cities of Judah. We see that these are the two key defensed cities that were situated southwest of Jerusalem. They were located on the main route to the city. And so if they fell, because they were used to pre-defend, if you will, Jerusalem, but if they fell, then that would mean that Jerusalem's fall was going to be very soon. 21 bits of pottery that had inscriptions on them that they have removed from the fortress of Lachish. That's about 25 miles southwest of Jerusalem. They furnish supplemental details of the conditions described in Jeremiah. There's a report on one of those pieces of pottery that the following situation at Lachish shortly before the fall, and this is the quotation, "And he would know concerning the beacons of Lachish that we are watching according to the instructions that my Lord has given, for we do not see the signals of Azekah." In other words, apparently Azekah had already fallen to the Babylonians prior to the fall of the city of Lachish. Now, verse 8, "This is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. After that, the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them, that every man should let his manservant, and every man his maidservant, being in a Hebrew or an Hebrewess, go free, that none should serve himself of them, to wit, of a Jew, his brother." In other words, there would be freedom for all Jews. "Now when all the princes and all the people which had entered into the covenant heard that every one should let his manservant and every one of his maidservant go free, that none should serve themselves of them any more, then they obeyed and let them go. But afterward they turned and caused the servants and the handmaids whom they had let go free to return and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. Therefore the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, saying, At the end of 7 years let ye go every man his brother in Hebrew, which hath been sold unto thee. And when he hath served thee 6 years, thou shalt let him go free from thee. But your fathers hearkened not unto me, neither inclined their ear. And now, and ye were now turned, and had done right in my sight, in proclaiming liberty every man to his neighbor. And ye had made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. But ye turned and polluted my name, and caused every man his servant and every man his handmaid, whom he had set at liberty at their pleasure, to return and brought them into subjection, to be unto you for servants and for handmaids. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ye have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty, every one to his brother and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim a liberty for you, saith the Lord, to the sword, to the pestilence, and to the famine, and I will make you to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant which they had made before me, when they cut the calf in twain and pass between the parts thereof, the princes of Judah and the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs and the priests and the people of the land which pass between the parts of the calf, I will even give them into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of them that seek their life, and their dead bodies shall be for meat unto the fowls of the heaven and to the beasts of the earth. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his princes will I give unto the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of them that seek their life, and into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which are gone up from you. Behold, I will command, saith the Lord, and cause them to return to this city, and they shall fight against it, and take it, and burn it with fire, and I will make the cities of Judah a desolation without an inhabitant. Notice, Zedekiah, the king, made a decree. The decree was a good decree. It was one that followed God's law. It was late. It was certainly not a timely decree, but it nonetheless was following the spirit of the law. And it was ignored by those that had slaves. The Hebrew law concerning slavery and the liberation of slaves is found in Exodus chapter 21 and Leviticus chapter 25, as well as in Deuteronomy chapter 15. It had apparently not been kept in force in Judah. Zedekiah's proclamation went beyond freeing slaves after 6 years' service and gave liberty to all slaves. So if they had been serving even 2 years or less than the 6 years, they would have been set at liberty. However, unless the people enter into the freedom that the truth supplies, there can be no liberty. And we find that in the New Testament, of course, in John chapter 8, verses 32 through 36. We see that, and we'll read that in just a moment to you. The liberated slaves were quickly re-enslaved by their slave masters. Now we know, even in these United States, when the slavery that was well within the confines of much of the U.S., when it was done away with in the 1865-plus era, then what we saw was that laws were put in place to re-enslave certain people that perhaps were caught in the net, if you wish to call it that, of slavery in the past. And so folks had laws made, whether they be laws of segregation or territorial laws or various other kinds of things, that would put those same people who had been in bondage again, a different kind of bondage perhaps, but nonetheless bondage. And finally, that was eradicated as well. The Israelites had a law that said, if you take a Jewish person as one of your slaves, as one of your servants, it will be for a period of 6 years, and in the sixth year, when the sixth year is over, when the seventh year begins, it'll be a year of Jubilee. And so in that seventh year, all the slaves who have been placed into bondage will then be set at liberty. And that's what the year of Jubilee was all about, the seventh year. It was a year of Sabbath, or a Sabbath year, if you will. And so the Jewish slaves were not perpetual in their slavery. They could be sold into slavery for a period of time only. And God made sure that the society at large did not have a slave class. This was not allowed. And yet, Judah here had made it such. It was an anathema to God. God never set it up for it to be that way. People were able to get out of their debts and to get out of trouble by selling themselves into slavery, but it was their own free will to do that. And then they had the opportunity to become free every seventh year. Now, let's go to John chapter 8 and read there about the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. John 8, 32 through 36. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, that is the Jewish folks, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So the key here is that if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And God himself had made the Jewish slaves free in the seventh year. And that was the way that God had put it together, so there would be no perpetual servitude or perpetual slavery. Now, one commentator put it this way, said, Zedekiah convinced the people to release their Hebrew slaves, who were supposed to be given their freedom after 6 years, hoping thereby to impress God and cause him to relieve the Babylonian siege against Jerusalem. But when news came that an advancing Egyptian army caused the Babylonians temporarily to lift the siege and regroup against the Egyptians, in Jeremiah 37:5, the slave owners, feeling that the danger was past, forced their slaves back into service. And so this is what happened. Chapter 35, verse 1, the word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go unto the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, the man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shallum, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, Drink ye wine. But they said, We will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any, but all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we a vineyard, nor field, nor seed, but we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. Now, before we get into the rest of the scripture here in chapter 35, we see that this is a Jewish Puritan group, if you will. This is folks who were descended from the Kenites, and their way of life was nomadic and austere, and their prohibition of wine recalled Nazarite vows. This nomadic way of life and protesting modernization came about from Jonadab, the son of Rechab, in Israel, about 842 B.C. And at this time, we're looking at about, 590 B.C., something like that. So about 300 years difference, something 250, 300 years difference. Jeremiah was commanded to give them wine to drink, and they refused it. Now, let's get back to reading here. In verse 11, But it came to pass, When Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, Come, and let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell at Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine are performed, for unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early, sending them, saying, Return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me, because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people hath not hearkened unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he hath commanded you. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Now here we are down to verse 19 of chapter 35, and we see a blessing that is given to the Rechabites because of their fidelity to their earthly forebears' commandment to them of what to do and what not to do. And they were following the commandment of their forebears, their forefathers, but God is talking to the people of Judah and saying, You don't even listen to me. I'm God Almighty. I'm not just a forefather or a forebear of your line. I am actually the God who created all things. And yet, you don't follow what I tell you to do. So Jeremiah uses the fidelity of the Rechabites as an object lesson to Judah, who by contrast then has broken God's commandments at every turn. Notice the promise there in verse 19, because the Rechabites have done what they were commanded to do by their earthly forebears, God says that Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. In other words, there will always be a Rechabite clan or family that will be following after God Almighty. Chapter 36, verse 1, And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou, and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people, in the Lord's day upon the fasting day, and also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return everyone from his evil way, for great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim the son of Josiah king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people of Jerusalem, and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book of the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Jemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. And what we will see as we study this is the response, and it is not one of favor, but one of disfavor, because Judah continues to go against the very word of God.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.